Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Hello and welcome to Night of the Living Podcast, sad edition.
Yeah, there's a lot of sadness. El Paso, Dayton, two mass shootings. Dayton close to home, a place that we were just there a couple years ago for Trans-Siberian Orchestra in that exact district, which is a really nice restaurant district. Mm-hmm. We went to, what was the name of the place?
Dublin Pub.
Really good stuff.
Was good.
So, really sad. Also, Andy is not with us, unfortunately. His older dog, Apollo, is being put down today. So, we're in a bummer mood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to try to turn it around.
Yeah.
You're really fun, happy host today. I'm Amy.
Yeah, this is Freddie.
And Mikey B.
We're going to be talking about Freeway. A movie that is very 90s.
So
90s.
Silly, too.
I love this movie.
It had a 90s incense smell to it.
Yeah.
It's wearing a choker, a baby doll tee.
It was, yeah.
It's a walking, talking Bratz doll.
I feel like the Bratz were early 2000s, but yeah, we'll get there.
But I feel like they're inspired by this. When Reese Witherspoon is puking in this movie, she is spitting out yogurt.
Oh, was that what that was?
Yeah.
It was pretty thick.
Yeah.
Good.
That was a fun fact to turn things around at the top.
Yep. Also, we had a beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah.
Up until, you got to celebrate life. And it seems like every time we had a very, very Cincinnati day, it seems like every time we come out into our city, or every time, at least for me, it's like pushing so far new. It's a new place.
Yeah.
It's like there's so many new stops and spots and fun festivals and great new restaurants and places to drink.
We took Mikey to Finley Market for the first time. Finley Market's like a big institution here in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been around since, the 1800s. And it's it's an open air and closed market with restaurants and buskers and
farmers market.
There's a farmer's market. Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff. It's wonderful.
It was really, really nice. I always thought that it was... I'm more on the outskirts of Cincinnati.
And you didn't grow up here.
I didn't grow up here, so I always thought when I heard of Finley Market, I knew people loved it, but I always thought it was more of a farmer's market. So, it does have that to it, but it has a lot of, artisans and cool stuff and just great drinks. And that was the first time for all of us to take the
streetcar.
Streetcar.
I had ridden it before because I'm very cool like that.
Yes.
But... Cincinnati has a streetcar, which is controversial if you're a suburbanite, because how dare we have to pay for something, and why would we do anything that makes the city better and more easily to navigate?
It was always full.
Yeah.
And it was really cool.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was fun. I was like, you're in a big city.
We took it all over the damn place.
We were in a big city. Yeah.
Cincinnati is wonderful. It is having a renaissance.
It is. Yeah.
But in addition to going to Finley Market, we took it down to the Banks, which is by the stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
The stadiums down there.
Stadiums.
And we moseyed around. And apparently a beer fest was happening, the summer beer fest, which we didn't know and we didn't go to. But when we get back on the streetcar, I want to talk about the drunk lady.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about that?
That lady was...
One in particular, drunk lady.
We get back on the streetcar. Like, we were down there. Beer fest had to have just opened, right? Mm-hmm. When we were hanging out down by that area, down in Smale Park by the carousel. And then maybe an hour later, we're back on the streetcar. And this lady is slammered from Beer Fest.
Super slammed.
Was she there for like an hour?
I don't know. Yeah. She was one of those people that you feel like, you're like, oh, this lady doesn't get out a lot.
No, she's from Nowheresville, Indiana. I heard her talking. So she is just standing on the streetcar holding onto the pole and then just decides to start groping the lady next to her.
Yeah.
A couple.
Not in a
ladies couple.
Yeah. Not in a like feel her up way, but like, oh, I thought your arm was the pole and let's be best friends and let me just talk to you forever. And
now I'm going to keep touching you is basically what she said.
And finding new ways to adjust my arm on your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, well, the first time was an accident, but now we're best friends. So she started like
stay right here.
And her sober husband, who she explained, was just driving her around so she could drink, the two of them. There was something really
it started off as like one of those things where you were like, oh, this is kind of funny. And then it got like unsettling as you started hearing the husband say, like, you need to stop.
I was just very disquieted by that woman.
There was something, there was an awakening happening.
She felt unsafe. Like, I just didn't know what she was going to do. And I didn't like it for those other ladies.
Yeah.
I felt bad, really bad. I felt like her husband was an abused person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just the impression I got.
Yeah.
And she kind of blew him off. Oh, he can't drink. He's got a heart condition, so he's just driving me around.
Yeah.
It's a very.
He's a broken heart.
Don't.
A literal broken heart.
A broken heart.
Don't be that lady. Yeah.
Don't be that lady.
And for the, you know, the ladies that she was all up in their business, they were taking it well.
They were super sweet.
Yeah, they were. I think they were somewhat encouraging.
I know. I just don't encourage such behavior.
I felt bad because where I think it turned for me is I was like, oh, this married couple. I'm assuming they were married. Did they say they were married?
Yeah, she said it was her husband.
Yeah. So, like, they need to have a conversation. And I can't help but, like, start feeling the anxiety of that conversation needs to happen. You could tell in the husband's, like, disconnected moments that in his mind he was processing. Like, yeah, we need to talk, and this is not going to go well.
Your drinking problem. No.
Yeah.
And I'm not discouraged. Say, be nice to strangers. Say hi. You know, I'm not saying you can't be that way, but this was just extra level, and it was just giving me such weird, awful vibes.
What was the woman hitting on this woman, the woman couple in front of her husband? That just was...
It was just odd.
At least we have a conversation. And maybe they already have.
Maybe
that was okay. Yeah. Maybe they already have.
Maybe they have.
So in that case, that's my mind creating a story that's irrational.
Exactly. And there's, you shouldn't do that.
There were so many fun things, like little groups. There was all these little, I'll call them star systems. How's that?
Yeah.
There was the Hawaiian themed star system.
Oh, yeah.
There was all the people in Hawaiian shirts with the leis and stuff. Then there was the Friends pub crawl.
Major Friends pub crawl.
As in the TV show Friends from the 90s. Like,
they're having a trivia crawl.
Which?
In OTR.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand.
I said it should have been a coffee shop crawl.
Yeah, not bars.
Not bars, yeah. Because Friends, I don't really remember.
But people are like, how much coffee can you drink before your colon explodes and you've had your heart starts beating irregularly? Right. You know what I mean? So
speaking of colons exploding.
Oh!
At Finley Market, I have to. I feel like every time we, one of us, we have to tell it. Yeah. We had a delicious...
I haven't signed that contract, by the way, yet.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He's holding out.
Disclosing more and more as this goes on, but I haven't disclosed. I'm not sure.
No secrets.
So, we went to Eli's Barbecue, which is a famous local barbecue place. Fantastic food, but I think maybe I forced too many rib tips down because I didn't want to throw them in the garbage. And then I decided to drink a big old thing of nitro coffee to wash it all down with.
Yep.
To try to perk myself up a little bit.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Those two things.
After a beer and a super sweet lemonade.
Yeah, yeah. Beer and lemonade and
lemonade,
whatever
bourbon,
else we had.
Lemonade, bourbon, slush.
And a bourbon. So
we get 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
We get on the streetcar and I'm like, ooh, my stomach is fucked. Mm-hmm. And the streetcar keeps stopping. And I was like, oh, yeah, this thing stops.
Yeah.
I need to get back to Fountain Square where we...
Unlike your guts, this thing stops.
Oh, my.
So there's a public restroom at our Fountain Square that has two stalls in it. And some guy goes in right ahead of me, and I'm standing there. I'm like, this guy's not coming back out. Mm. He's moved in there. Like,
what about the other one?
The other one was already occupied.
Oh, so everybody's in there blowing it up.
Everybody's in there blowing. Everyone's having the same problem I am.
Everybody had
and
eyes.
I'm like, oh, this is no good. I'm bad shape. And
meanwhile, we're hanging back over by the swing dancers on Fountain Square waiting for Freddie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I spy across the street, there's this bookstore. And I start, waddling over there like a pregnant woman. And I get halfway through the crosswalk and I poop my pants. just a little, but enough to make me incredibly uncomfortable. And I make it the rest of the way across the street. And I go into the bookstore just praying they have a bathroom because I'm beyond the point of no return.
Oh, yeah.
And I get in there and there's no one in there except for somebody looks like they're asleep at one of the little tables near the cafe area. And these two.
That was in the bathroom?
Yeah. These two older ladies at the cash register. And I walk past them because I see a sign that says restroom. I'm like, oh, thank God. And I get there and it's the door has a sign that says you must be a customer. Use the bathroom. Ask an employee for help. And I turn around and just look at them, and they go, do you need me to push you in? I guess I could just see it on my face.
Maybe I could smell a little bit, too.
You're like, yeah.
You were a sensory experience of help.
Sure. Yeah. I was like, yes, please. And the rest is history. I texted Amy, and
yeah,
I was like...
I get this text that says, had to go to the bookstore across the street. Didn't quite make it. Gonna be a minute. And I text back, what does didn't quite make it mean? And he says, it means that I shit my pants. And I said, bad. And he says, I'll live. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was rough.
I was like, do we have to go home now? Because we were doing other stuff.
And it was a hot August day. It was sunburned. And my drawers were full of poop. It was a tiny little bit. Okay. It was a tiny little bit that some people probably would have just gone about their day with. I'm sure.
If you don't love the couple of Amy and Freddie enough already, just sitting out with Amy and seeing the text, like I'm starting to go into panic mode because like we have contingency plans at Disney.
Oh,
like
yeah.
What happens if one of us like craps their pants?
Yeah, I got
but we didn't have a contingency plan. And I could tell when I'm not a part of the Freddie and Amy, like there's a certain dialogue. There's a certain cadence that goes along. Cause Amy's like, it's okay. And I'm like, he shit his pants. And
well, I group texted like, them. I should say, I was just like, hey, everybody. Yeah. Just so you know.
We're going to have to find a Macy's and get some pants.
Like, I don't know that you can get underwear downtown. Yeah.
And as we're watching Freddie walk back, Amy can tell by his cadence, like, I think he's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this whole entire backside may be covered in crap. He
was like, no, we're okay. I was just like, I was like, take a look, make sure I look okay.
I did, I looked.
And everything was okay. I wasn't like a disgusting mess or anything. It was just still, it was not what you want your nice summer day out to be. So don't stuff yourself full of barbecue and the coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think naturally that would happen to almost anyone.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, we'd all had overindulged at that point.
It's kind of like, it's that whole thing also like when New York's bad for this is like, you got to really know. You have to plan your day out around bathrooms in New York, I think.
Yeah.
It's very stressful.
And it's the same with downtown Cincinnati, I think. Yeah. Like, you really...
Well, there are public restroom options, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And like New York, where...
There are none.
If you get stuck, you're waiting in a 25-minute line at Starbucks, so you better not be in critical emergency zone, because nobody's letting you cut that line.
Yeah. Or you're in a McDonald's in Chelsea with your feet pressed against the door, hoping nobody, because it doesn't lock.
Shitting your brains.
Well, there's a line of people outside.
I mean, I love
Not
New York,
that happened to me, but.
I guess this is one area where Cincinnati's a little bit better.
It's a little better. Yeah, at least we have those two public stalls.
You have those two. We have two public stalls.
There.
And we have lots of like walls to wash your bum on if you
need
it.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Water walls.
Yeah. I was noticing because of Freddie's situation. I was like, there's a good water wall if you needed.
We were talking about this. We went to the Washington Park where they have
Smale.
Where they have the fountains that squirt up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. And me and Andy are like, I'm going to go
bidet.
Over. Yeah, and use that like a bidet. And then later Amy's like, you should go over and stand over. I just said that to Andy. We all had the same idea. Let's all drop our trousers and blast our buttholes with the park water.
There's like 1,000 kids running around. Yeah.
They're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I caught a couple kids just sitting on them.
Yeah. Well, there was a fat baby like just sitting in the middle of all that in a diaper. And I said, that's me right now.
You need a diaper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of fountains and kids have like their first like, huh, that's kind of nice. moments.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's
kind of
nice. So, Patreon.
It's kind of nice.
It's nice.
If you want to contribute to the Replace Freddy's Underwear Fund, patreon.com/NOTLP. Shayna, welcome to the fold. Shayna Reed has joined us.
Shayna lives in Dayton.
We owe shirts and pens to... Oh.
She's okay.
She's okay.
Brannon, Emily, Shayna, and Adam Troy. And we were going to get those out today. I mean, not get them out in the mail today. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
But we are going to at least...
It's going to happen.
I'm going to make Amy... I'm going to hold her arms and do a weekend at Bernie's and push her through all the motions of putting the packages together.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going
to
have to
do that.
I can't even take care of myself to make it
clearly
to the bathroom
not.
In time. So you're going to have to take care of this.
Clearly
you
not.
You did good.
Yeah.
We've all been stuck there. You made it. You almost, you can't say that because you were using like survival skills there.
Yeah, it was. It
you
was
were finding
much...
a path. Yeah. You made a way. You solved the problem. You got the key. It's like an escape room. Escape the poop.
It was a journey.
It was. You made it. You got back. Yeah. You got back unscathed. You didn't have any battle scars.
You can go on Naked and Afraid now.
Yeah, it'd be so much easier on Naked and Afraid because I would just be like, wait. And then I would just kind of
I don't
down
feel like
bit.
You'd have to worry about, like, you're not going to go like, you know what, I'm going to overindulge myself on these pine cones.
Yeah.
I think you would actually probably do better on Naked and Afraid than you think.
Want to eat all these leeches. Yeah. Hey, the Patreon right now, Night of the Comic. We are on Star Wars so hard right now.
Oh, my God.
We talked all Star Wars like crazy this Wednesday. Again, we're going to get together and do it all again because we are immersing ourselves in Star Wars right now.
All right.
Which is really fun. I have like a whole new appreciation for the prequels, which I used to really dislike. So now my life is a little bit better because of it. Just a little bit.
Good. A little bit.
Yeah, good. I can hang on to that when I poop my pants and be like, well, at least the prequels don't bug me anymore.
Sometimes the obstacle becomes the way.
When you're washing out your
Master
drawers.
Master Yoda. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are ridiculous.
He said do or do not, so I did.
We also stopped at a really cool Destination New Bar, a newish bar, the Pin? Pins?
Yeah, Pins.
Pins.
Yeah. Pins Mechanical Company.
Pins Mechanical Company. So if you're coming to Cincinnati, another place I'd put on the, check it out.
It's really fun. Four stories.
Four plus the basement.
Plus the basement. Yeah. So five. Yeah.
The basement has the Elvira pinball machine. So if that's
one of my favorite pinball machines.
I felt like the basement was a hidden gem. If I went back there... I'd get my drinks and go down to the basement and just play the Terminator and the Elvira machines.
And you're close to great bathrooms.
Yeah.
And you're right by the bathrooms.
Yeah, because the ones upstairs are just singles and you got to wait in line.
Yeah.
The ones downstairs, there's many stalls.
And there's couches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
And they're open and there's a foosball table, which it's the first.
Foos.
I told you it's the first time I've seen a pay foosball table.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is a common thing, but I was looking at it and I'm like, oh, it still has the little beady, like, abacus style. Yeah, sliders for keeping score. I'm like, okay, it's got to detect when the ball goes in and makes a goal. Why doesn't it just keep score for you if you're paying? Right? Because it has to, like, know when the game's over.
Or does it just set on a timer and in 10 minutes your game is done no matter what?
You figured it out.
Yeah. Also,
a
nice little rooftop view. And then there's a place where you can play duck pin bowling.
The people get progressively better looking the higher you get to the top of the building.
Yeah, we got
I don't know about that.
Younger, for sure. Like, we were up on the rooftop, and I'm like, oh. I got most of these people by, like, at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Except for that one lady that looked like a Karen.
But I felt like the drinks got progressively worse too, the higher up that we got.
You didn't like your slushie.
I did not like my slushie. I had, had an adult slushie, and it was...
It had a dildo in it. That's what made it an adult slushie.
Get it.
They garnish it with a big dildo. Most of the slushie goes all over the bar. They make this beautiful white shaved ice, then they pull out from underneath, they pull out these big dildos, and they jam them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the slushie goes everywhere. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make
What does
any
this have
sense.
To do with pinball?
But we did have a, they have a, I guess a signature drink on the third floor, on the pinball floor. That's like a pinball or a bowling ball. If I mean, if it's like the duck pin, I don't know what it, whatever. It looks like a pinball to me. That's what I'm taking because I like think pinball's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it was like a really good drink for a good price. I forget what it was called.
It was called the Baller.
The Baller.
It was a $12 drink with like four shots of alcohol.
Yeah, right? It was crazy.
And it had a Hawaiian Punch and Sprite. It was okay. It was real sweet, but like I couldn't drink more than one of them. Not because of the potency, but because of the sweetness.
Sweetness. Too sweet.
But if you keep the collect, you keep the glass it comes in, you pop the straw out, it's a titty. Because it has a little nipple on the end of it.
Basically. We found out in many different ways how true that is.
It's a big titty.
Freddie likes his new titties.
Yeah. He's figured out how to master that. It's got the straw holes perfectly shaped the right way.
I put them under my shirt this morning when I was serving coffee. Remember, I was like, I thought I was having a hot flash, but my boobs were just in my coffee.
Boobs in my coffee. Fuzzy. Boobs in my coffee. Also found out that Andy realized you don't need a baby or something cute in your hand to get attention in downtown. You go to Goodfellas Pizza.
Yeah.
And you carry around one of those
22-inch
humongous boxes of pizza. And you carry it right around your lap level. And people will hardcore stare right at your crotch.
A man with two orthopedic boots. Like, you know what I mean? Like the ones you put on after a surgery and a walker. Saw Andy walk by with the pizzas and he stopped and he turned around, which took him some effort to stare at Andy walk by with that pizza. And he really felt like he was being ogled.
Yeah.
And he liked it.
It was the first time this group has had to go into like defense of Andy art. But, there was a moment there where I was like, is this guy... No, he's got boots on. But Andy definitely enjoyed carrying around his pizzas and everybody wanting some.
We passed a couple of ladies who were like, that is the best pizza on earth, right? Mm-hmm. Remember them?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yes, it is.
Yes.
It is really effing good pizza.
It is really good pizza.
Pardon my French.
It was really good pizza. Goodfellas.
We split the 22-inch. Of course,
you
only
fucked
ate.
Up.
No, we didn't, because I had pizza for breakfast. I'm going to have pizza for lunch. And
a sensible
meal. Banana peppers, ricotta cheese, mushrooms, and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good combination.
It's a Freddy and Mikey.
Yeah,
that's a Freddy and Mikey. Disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Except for the ricotta.
It's delicious. Yeah. Goodfellas might want to put it on their menu. We're pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
What are they going to call it?
The Freddy and Mikey.
The Freddy B.
Freddy B.
And the Mikey M.
And the Freddy is ricotta, bacon, roasted red peppers, and caramelized onions. If you want to try that.
But it takes two to make a thing go right.
But the one me and Mikey made together is a whole different taste sensation.
It is.
Do you want to know what the Amy is?
What's the Amy?
Fucking pepperoni.
Yeah.
Because I find whenever I try to go outside of that, I'm disappointed. I like a nice just pepperoni pizza. I don't mind jalapenos. But if for some reason, I don't like vegetables on my pizza. It's weird. I love onions. I love green peppers. But you put them on a pizza, and it's just, I don't like it.
I get you.
I don't like it.
I think depending on the pizza. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, the only topping I rarely ever would want on pizza is chicken.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Although I've had a good one. Like
chicken mariachi.
Chicken mariachi pizza is pretty good.
Chicken mariachi. It depends on the place, how they prepare the pizza. Like Papa John's, like what would you call that? Like a low shelf. Sorry, Papa John's.
Not great.
It's not great. Is that a Cincinnati thing? Is Papa John's a Cincinnati thing?
No.
I think he started it in Indiana somewhere, right?
No,
like
he's from Louisville.
That to me, I'm always I love a good veggie pizza. Meats, I'm not anti-meat, but I like my veggies.
And
I do. I do on my pizza. And Papa John's, never. It's like either cheese or pepperoni. That's what they do right for me. They don't do the other stuff right, so I don't want it. So.
But it says better ingredients.
Mm.
It's a lie.
Mm.
The better ingredients is a lie.
Yeah.
A drunken founder.
It's not considered slander, is it?
Drunken racist founder.
Yeah. Is he?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Oh. Yeah, your pizza's
He's
not
been
that
ousted.
Great. Oh.
Yeah, they got rid of him.
Ousted.
Wow.
All right. Well, the world is shit. We'll try to bring you a little bit of joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try. Sometimes that's what you got, a little bit of joy.
Like, this whole week, I've just felt like I needed the Great British Baking Show in my life to kind of soothe me, and it did.
It is really good. It's good for your blood pressure.
It is. If you need that right now in your life, turn on the Great British Baking Show and watch Raoul be unable to take compliments.
And in small doses, Never Think is also really good for your blood pressure.
Incorrect.
Amy just ignores it. It's probably a dose.
You need to. You don't want to overdose on it.
Yeah, you can overdose.
Yeah, we were going to overdose territory.
Yeah.
You like at top 20 to 30 minutes would be the absolute maximum.
My current just not think salve has been and you know you two are tired of me saying it, but America's Got Talent. That's just
I'm not tired of that. It's just funny that you keep asking me if I watch it.
You guys watch that? Do you guys watch it? Oh, okay. I don't know that it's any bit different than any other season, but it's really nice to see people like get up there and care about they do stuff. That's nice.
Yeah,
like, it's become a really encouraging talent show as opposed to like
the mean-spirited ones.
So I'm really enjoying it.
America doesn't nice have little. We realize we don't want the mean-spirited anymore.
Yeah, and I think this season is taking a lot of people from different countries. Like I know it's called America's Got Talent, but they're having
what the hell?
Yeah, there's a lot of different countries on there, so maybe
we import some of our talent.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes America great, right?
Yeah,
nation of immigrants,
a melting pot.
All right, well, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Tell us your bomb for society.
Yeah.
Bomb.
The way you deal.
Yeah, how do you deal?
What's your deal?
You know what else? Just a mental health moment.
Yeah.
The Oprah's book, I think you can still get her newest, like she did a book, I shouldn't know what it is called, but anyhow, on
Horton
Audible.
Hears a Who?
Horton Hears a Who. She did a book. And it's like a lot of some of the greatest, you know, inspirational speakers of our time. It's her sharing stories as she goes through like kind of her laws of whatever. Take it or leave it if you like Oprah or whatnot. But it's a lot of really good speakers, and it's on Audible for free, so you can listen to them actually speak it. It's her and the speakers themselves. She's got their obviously recording for it, so that's kind of nice little. It's like 4 hours to get
fucking
through.
Oprah, I love her.
Yeah. It's nice that it's there on Audible for free. I think it's still for free. Sorry if it's not now.
My bad if it's not.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
I know.
Way to bring capitalism into it and bring us all down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well.
Ooh, and another announcement. The Universal just announced Creepshow is going to be one of their haunts.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's going to be not this October or yes?
Yes, it's this one.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know I get starting to get to that season where it's still summer, but you know what's around the corner.
Oh.
And I'm really hoping this year to get out and do as many haunts as possible. That's always something that just is a signature of that time. I love it. So it's cool to hear Universal's got Creepshow. I think they're doing Killer Clowns from Outer Space is going to be another one of their big haunts. So that's really exciting. And there's quite a few.
They're creative. I like that they do stuff like that.
Yeah, the Creepshow announcement, if you're on Instagram or whatever and you follow Universal, they have a pretty cool cut trailer for it. But it's going to be the original Creepshow and the new Shudder Creepshow. It'll be exciting. Exciting stuff.
Very cool. All right. Well, I'm going to move us along then.
Moving right along.
If that's all right.
Oh, we got to see Muppets, too, this week.
Yeah, we went to the Muppet movie.
Yeah,
it was re-release, 40th anniversary.
Yeah, there's still joy left in this world.
That was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
You had to run into some local friends there, too. It was cool that they had it actually playing in two theaters. One of the theaters was, we thought it was sold out, but they had it playing, too. But, it's such a good stuff. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Forgot how simple that first movie is, but
oh yeah, it's a great road movie.
Yeah, it really is. It's good stuff. It's still funny.
I love a fucking Muppet.
Yeah, my soul is a Muppet. I'm sometimes question whether or not I'm a man or a Muppet of a man.
You're a Muppet of a man.
Very,
if you were asking,
very, very Muppet.
That's what you are.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Yeah,
that's what I am.
All right, we'll be right back, babies.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for straight-to-video Russian roulette.
All right, you beautiful babies. We're back. Mike,
Yes.
You have a review for us.
I do. I watched the movie Party Hard, Die Young on Shudder. And I loved it.
Oh my gosh. See? There's still joy in this world.
Still is. This is, to me, is... So, just to start, it's kind of like a... I'm trying to think of the right words to say this. So it's almost like what you would think a Scream evolution would be, because it's very meta. Mm. All of the kids are cell phones, and it's
the kids are
all the kids are cell phones. They're walking cell phones.
This is like a whole new type of cinema.
Whoa. Yeah, all the kids are cell phones.
I'm so sick of these movies where they replace the actors with cell phones.
It's basically Muppets, but they're cell phones. So they're cellpits. Cellpits?
Cellpits.
I don't know. Let me stop all of that. It's a good movie. I'm not going to spoil it. But here's what's happening. So it is it's a foreign film. So it is subtitled. There are some moments in multiple different languages, and I'm not exactly sure. I should have done a little research. I watched this actually right after I found out I got the show or got hit Maybe. With the bullet. Yeah. So I watched this last Sunday, and I thought I'll just kind of see what it is and get it queued up so I'm ready to watch it. And I couldn't stop watching this film. So good. For starters, it looks amazing. It looks great. And the acting in it is phenomenal. Like, there are characters that are so it's all of these college students who are coming from their country, like their country. I guess they pass some kind of a big exam. I'm assuming it's not high school, the big exam, but I'm assuming it's some kind of college to go on to someplace else. And so they have their spring break. And so that's what the premise of this movie is. So they go to Croatia, which there's this huge, Croatia is like the big festival that these spring breakers come to. And so they go to this town that basically is designed around housing these kinds of parties. So it's like a fire festival, kind of thing.
It's like a Daytona Beach.
Yes, it is.
But better, probably.
But super douchey.
Oh, then it's the same.
Yes. And basically, these two best friends, they're going out. They're going there. And one of the best friends has passed the exams and gotten to go to a new college. And she's debating about how to tell her friend, like, she's not going to be living with her next year. And she's basically been having these conversations with all the other people that they've gone with. So they all know, but her best friend doesn't. And so the setup of this is that they're all coming, and the idea is, like, we have as much fun as possible. So very much the college, you know, setup. We're going to be drinking, we're going to be having lots of sex, and we're going to be partying hard. And they set this thing up, which I didn't feel like they really went too much more into this. So I'm not exactly sure what it was trying to set up, but they got a limited amount. So there's a big party every night. So this beach area, everything closes except for this party. And they had so many wristbands to go to this party. And there weren't enough wristbands for everybody in the party. But so that's the premise. So the idea is that you're posting the best, like you're showing that you have the best times. So a lot of this is told from actual cell phone screens as opposed to, like, the override. I know a lot of people don't like that when, like, the movies do, like,
the text bubbles.
The text bubbles. This is actually showing,
like,
they're framing out your viewing screen like it's a cell phone, and you're seeing, like, these really crystal great...
Is this through not the entire movie, right?
Not through the entire movie, but basically people are posting these great things, and then in the parties they're playing, like, look who these people are having the best time, and these people are having, and they're showing it through pictures and videos and whatnot. And then the best friends, one of them, the girl, ends up realizing that the other girl is going away to college or to a different college. And so there's a split, and then all of a sudden murders start happening. So I'm not going to say much more than that, other than the murders are really interesting. And there are throwbacks to other movies. Like, they, like, I think actually one of the direct quotes in the movie is, "We're not in I Know What You Did Last Summer." Uh-huh. And it's very much that kind of a premise, but it feels like it's the premise set in this today's time and date. And even though it's like foreign land, foreign country, foreign everything, like, you're kind of experiencing that too, because some of the things, some of the cultural stuff is, like, unfamiliar to you too. But it's, again, college students having a great time, and then this murder mystery happening. Nobody believes the main actress in this. I got to give her some serious props because she's phenomenal. Marlon
Wayans.
He He's amazing.
Marlon Wayans. I love Marlon Wayans.
Remember in the Dungeons and Dragons movie, he was the thief character?
Yeah, oh, I don't think that's what her name is. I can't. My IMDb is not pulling up over here. But
Party Hard, Die Young. Her name is Marlon Bass or Bose.
Yes, she was great. But again, I thought all of the actors were great. This is one of those movies that in the wrong hands, you would have really hated all the characters, but I really liked her. She has this whole line going through where she's really trying to have a good time and not think about stuff, but you can tell she's really conflicted about hurting her best friend. So it feels like a very real thing. And then as you start to figure out, like, there's a mystery, there's lots of fun red herrings that are thrown in there, which is what you love about, you know, the Scream movies, is who are the killers? Are they the douchebag party people? Are they the people that are running the event? You know, or is it the police? The police start coming involved in it and don't believe, because obviously it's spring break and they're going, your friend just went home or partied too hard or is now in some other country having sex with some strange guy. And so nobody believes anybody, but it's a really just fun. I highly, highly recommend if you have Shudder.
This director also made a movie called Attack of the Lederhosen Zombies.
Oh, my God.
This feels like it's a better movie.
Well, I don't know. It looks pretty fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Attack of the Lederhosen Zombies is zombie action in the Alps. A group of young snowboarders are stuck in a remote mountain ski resort where an all-night après-ski party soon turns into a hellish nightmare of zombie mayhem.
See, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Well, this
and that sounds fun. Everything sounds fun.
It was fun. It's fun. Short, an hour and 30 minutes.
Perfect.
This looks great. It's a really sharp movie. It's like one of those ones where, like, you can tell it's a party scene, but it looks like you're in a rave, like super bright, fun lighting, and loved it. So, highly recommended.
Is it weird to be like, love this movie about kids getting shot or murdered, and then a bunch of kids just get shot?
As much as it would have been to say that about Scream.
But that's something that people don't understand about why I love horror movies, and I'm sure other people feel the same way. I like the catharsis of the fear in a safe way, because the world is so scary.
Yeah.
It's nice to kind of have fun with scary things. I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's a controlled environment.
Yeah.
It's an experiment.
Yeah.
It's the idea. I always love that. I think one of the things that got imprinted on my mind when I was a little kid is like the Terror in the Aisles, that whole like clip show anthology, and it's all the people who are talking to you about why you love these things. And in a movie theater at the time was like, you know, Dan Aykroyd, and I think he was one of the people that they look at the camera and they would talk to you, and it was great. But one of the things is like, when the things are down, the lights are down, you don't feel safe, but when those lights go up, you know that you are safe. And like, I think that
you
is
made it through.
You made it through, and that's the same thing with haunted houses. It's just to be able to go in there and know that you're in a land of make-believe, and in reality you're all safe, but you get a chance to
roller coasters is all, you know, it's a muscle that I think you need to work out, and it gives you that euphoria like any other kind of exercise will, if you have the energy to do that sort of thing.
Do you?
No, not right now. You guys made me jog lightly to the streetcar. And I told Mike or Andy, one of you guys, I said, this was in our wedding vows that this wouldn't happen.
Did you want to wait another 15 minutes?
I remember looking at you. I think it might have been me, because I remember looking at you one point. I was like, do you want me to try to pace out the... slow it down to see if we can make, but I'm not sure that those cars wait. I think it's just a matter of like the doors are going to close at a set time. I don't know if they see
you. Well, there is
you.
A driver.
I'll just cut you straight in half.
Yeah.
They all have they have specialized hemorrhoid pillows for every driver on the street.
We saw the lady like the change out, the shift change, and she like takes her seat cushion with her. Like, good for you.
You got those at the grand opening.
She's like, that's mine. I don't want this lady farting in my butt pillow. That's my butt cushion.
It was a prescription cushion.
Yeah.
You could tell.
You could only get that from a doctor. Should you sit in those? Like, I sit all day. Should I have a butt cushion?
That's just to keep your hemorrhoids from getting bad.
I don't have any hemorrhoids.
That's why it has a hole in the middle.
I'm knocking on wood right now.
It's so your hemorrhoids don't touch your chair. Them get worse.
Or is that a night, like maybe you're gassy and you're like, I'm gonna keep this cushion here so the next person is
a silencer?
Oh no, they don't have to sit in my fart.
It's an improvised silencer.
Oh, like don't blow it into the cushions.
Yeah, like I don't wanna, if I'm like real gassy.
But if
one
you
day,
don't, then you're blowing it out into the air around you and everyone will know what you've done.
Yeah. Hmm. It's no. like a charcoal pillow. I think it's it absorbs
specifically for that one.
Yeah.
Now maybe like a lumbar pillow for if you're like butt. Really wanting something. Yeah. A lower lumbar pillow would be okay, but that's a different.
It doesn't
region.
Have to be a hemorrhoid cushion. It could be a lumbar.
That's not what that was.
Your
lumbar
is not located in your anus.
It's like right at your sacrum. Not no. Thank you.
Lumbar pillows go in your lower back. Yeah, not, sure not around back. Your butthole.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was just, I was trying.
No. I'm just saying, if you sit for a living. Like, you know Ralph Cramden, that's why he always wanted to punch his wife in the mouth when he got home.
Because he didn't have a butt cushion?
Yeah, his butt was probably a minefield. A minefield of open wounds.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I don't want to... I have a... I gotta figure something else out than what I have. A Jack in the Box.
Okay.
Okay? It's a movie Jack in the Box. With a movie clown that'll pop out of it. Because I do not want to have a movie gun right now.
Nope. I get
it. Oh, I see.
Fuck your guns. So I have a movie jack in the box. And I'm cranking. And I'm cranking it. And cranking it. And I'm going to see. I'm holding it right now. It's like a hot potato. And I am. Oh, the clown popped out.
Oh, Amy. Sure did startle you, Amy.
Has been movie startled. Amy is selected.
And movie clowned.
Normally. On Straight to Video Russian Roulette, we have a movie gun, movie bullet, but I didn't want to do that. So, the clown popped out.
Straight to Video, clown pop.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Well, you're just going to have to get over it.
Straight to Video.
Pie face.
Finger cuffs.
Oh, yeah. What's pie that face. Pie face?
Pie face.
At one point,
jug face.
I was going to use pie face for this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What a mess it would be in here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
can you imagine every week having to set that fucking thing up with a whipped cream on it?
No.
And having to like clean it up every week.
Some of it's going to get left behind. Yeah.
We're going to get ants. Okay. It's another Shudder movie. It's on Shudder. It's called The Night Shifter.
Oh.
It's Portuguese.
Portuguese.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Stinho works the graveyard shift in the morgue of a vast, violent city. He toils all night, but he's never alone. For Stinho can talk to the dead, and they talk back. But when the whispers of the dead reveal secrets of his own life, Stinho unleashes a curse that brings forth danger and darkness.
We know you pooped your pants, Stinho.
You stain your pants.
You stain your pants.
We're grown up. We're just a bunch of grown ups in a room. Talking about fart cushions and pooping pants. So I'll review that for next week. And, yeah. Thank you for your time. We'll be right back. The main attraction. Satisfaction. Guaranteed to rock the chains
that bind you. Oh, oh, oh. This week's main attraction from 1996, written and directed by Matthew Bright, starring Reese Witherspoon, Kiefer Sutherland, Bokeem Woodbine, Brooke Shields, Dan Hedaya, who I love.
Who am I love?
Freeway from 1996. Did I already say that? Freeway.
Freeway.
This is a retelling of Little Red Riding Hood.
Life is a freeway.
Amanda
Plummer.
I know
that's not the line. I was doing a thing. No, yeah. No.
Another fantastic actor plays Reese Witherspoon's mom. Mm-hmm. And
she's great.
She is so great. I was actually, when we were watching this, I was kind of like, where's she been?
Yeah.
And I never did get around to looking at
her.
No
more plumbering jobs.
Which is all nobody needs a good plumber these days.
Yeah, poor Vanessa, who's Reese Witherspoon's character. Her mom is a drug addicted prostitute. I know we're not supposed to say that, or we're trying to.
She is both of those things.
Destigmatize.
She's a spaghetti addicted prostitute.
She's also shown to be an awful person.
She's just so awful.
It's not because she's a prostitute that she's awful.
She's also. Maybe a little mentally ill.
She's definitely mentally
everybody
ill.
Everybody in this movie.
And her
is.
Stepdad definitely.
Everybody is tragically broken in this film.
Yeah.
Like Vanessa's illiterate.
This kind of has a John Waters vibe to it, I would say.
There's a very, like, that kind of, yes, silly and dangerous and strange and surreal.
It's almost like if John Waters collaborated with Oliver Stone
yes.
and made like a Natural Born Killers kind of thing where It's a little lighter. As heavy as the subject matter is actually a lighter film than Natural Born Killers.
That's why it was it was weird, like all the like cursing and then like very heavy like stepdad molestation and murdery stuff. For how silly and kind of light it was, it was weird. Every time they said the F word, I was confused. I'm like, isn't this a children's? No.
It's a funny, it's a very funny movie, I think.
It's funny though, like, because it's so like over the top, I think. And sometimes in we, I noticed this time, I'm like, this was a real, I hadn't revisited this movie probably since 96 or 7, 90, somewhere right around there when I first saw it. And like the acting choices are like odd sometimes in this film. It's
deliberately weird. Odd.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it's not, there's, there's things that are a little perverse. Like people maybe reacting to things as if they're like titillated by the things that are happening.
Yeah.
When normally you would expect a character to be scared or disgusted.
Yeah.
There'd be just a little bit of that in there, which I think again is like a John Waters-y kind of touch. The same with me. I hadn't seen this since I worked at Blockbuster.
I'd never seen it.
Oh yeah, that's right. You had never seen it before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for you, this must have felt really weird.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
This is a weird movie. It's fun, but it's weird.
It actually, this was almost like a trend in the mid-90s, this style of filmmaking, like where it was a little more avant-garde stuff. And like I feel like at the time, it did just feel like a dangerous movie.
Yeah.
But it does, I couldn't imagine like seeing it so long after that trend ended.
Yeah.
Like with fresh eyes.
I remember like in my mind, I kind of blurred, like I remember seeing this and just being like, well, Natural Born Killers is a better version of this film. And now seeing it as an adult, like I really haven't been able to go back to Natural Born Killers because I feel like my perspective of like, oh, you know, the excitement of Natural Born Killers when you're a teenager is much different when you're an adult and you realize like this is especially
this is not
everything
good.
Going on. I don't want to go too deep into it. I just can't right now. But this movie, like I felt like when I saw it originally, I did get really into like the fun of like people were you really rooting for Reese Witherspoon to because she's a survivor and she's got this resiliency. But then like now I'm like she does horrible things in this film too, and you realize she's like it's broken. It's like oh my gosh, it's really kind of it was much more bleak to me
it
than
was
when
bleak.
It was
yeah
when I was because yeah you realize like
well she ends up hooking in the end and you're like. She had no, there was never anywhere for her to go.
Yeah.
Well, they even talk about as part of the interviews and the police are interviewing her, the really strange, the girl with the cane and the brace on her leg or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were talking about when they were in sixth grade, they were going to jerk guys off for money basically. Like, so you can see this like community is like a very poor community that she's in, and these kids are like the cops even say like these are the most fucked up kids I've ever seen or something.
But you also are like I don't know if it's happened for anybody else, but like for me it was like yes, it's played for like this kind of comedic effect, but like some of it was really like this does have these are people's
it is reality. I think part of it is I get the impression from this filmmaker that he may even be from that kind of community, and that's maybe why it plays surreal. And it's one of those things where if you don't laugh, you'll cry kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where he, what he's created is, again, it's just like, this is a dirty, down and dirty kind of life, but it is the only life that some people have.
Yes.
So why don't I take this fairy tale that everybody loves and set it in what I know? And, you know, why would some teenage girl be going to her grandma's place across the country other than she was running from something?
Right.
In this scenario, and in this case, she's running from her probation officer because she doesn't want to go back into foster care.
Right. Yeah. And you see like this, like, again, like I don't know what back in 97 is a different time, but like now we know so much more about trauma and like the resiliency that it breeds. And like I think for me, the reason this time it came out so bleak is sometimes you where the healing balm for trauma is that you see the resiliency, and then you see like these people that come out of it and like they're doing such amazing things because they become resilient, they become problem solvers, they're figuring out how to help people, and they know that that feels so good. Like here, it's her resiliency really makes her a survivor, a killer, and makes her better at doing all the things you wish she had escaped from. And to the end where it's like almost like a celebration, she looks at the camera and smiles.
But she became her mom at the end.
Yeah.
Because they mirror the line from the beginning where her mom, all the shit has hit the fan in the beginning with her mom's life is imploding again. She's going back to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she says, can I please have a cigarette?
Yeah.
In the middle of all this maelstrom. In Reese Witherspoon, that's the same thing she says at the end after she's, you know, dispatched Bob. Bob the Big Bad Wolf.
Yes.
Wolverton.
So you see the opening of the film, and then she's running. Her boyfriend, or is it, I guess fiance.
Yeah. Chopper.
Chopper.
Chopper Wood.
Yes, Chopper Wood, which, yeah, I totally missed
which
that
the is first a, time. Is a red herring in a way, because in the fairy tale, doesn't the woodsman save Little Red Riding Hood and cuts the grandma out of the wolf's belly in the end?
I believe so, yeah.
So,
yeah.
This movie, again, it's also, I think he was going for maybe like a female empowerment thing with where he's not going to turn up
right
to save her, because he gives her his gun to sell to finance her trip to see her grandma right after he got into a fight with these gangbangers who come along and they kill him because he doesn't have a gun anymore.
He's lost his axe.
Yeah, he's lost his axe, and they kill him. So now it's Little Red Riding Hood left to her own devices.
She doesn't know that.
Right. She thinks he's still alive until she gets her telephone call.
Yeah.
When she's arrested the first time.
So you know going in that Kiefer's, like, she stumbles across him because her car breaks down and he picks her up.
And they foreshadowed this with the I-5 killer,
which I think is a real serial killer. And I'm not sure there's ever been anybody arrested for that. But you know he's the bad guy going in, and he's so creepy. Not only because he has terrible glasses, like his frames are terrible, and just serial killer molestery.
Mm-hmm. His name is Randall Woodfield, and he was, I guess, arrested.
The I-5 killer?
Oh.
But, you know, yeah, so he's super fucking creepy, and he's a person that works with children to help them through their traumas. So he's like trying to help her through her trauma, but not really. He's like getting off on it.
He wants to hear it. It gives him a...
Yeah. And he's it's
super intimated.
Yeah. That he's a serial killer that's been killing prostitutes. Yeah. He's so greasy and bad. And she, you know, she kind of starts to trust him a little bit, because why not? I mean, she's got no one and nothing, and he's shown her some kindness, and she ends up shooting him a whole bunch of times. What was her line about that? I'm going to shoot you so many times,
Do you want to be shot a bunch of times, Bob? Well, he's a counselor for at a boy's home, essentially, right?
Yeah, that's what he says, at least.
And I think it's true, because later on, they were talking about how he's not going to be able to help kids anymore or something after she is... shot him a bunch of times.
Kids of his own.
Yeah. Which is, it's extra, to me, that's extra creepy that he is somebody who is in charge of kids, yet he's out killing kids, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like a real eerie thing. But it's perfect for like a Big Bad Wolf type of character, because wolf the whole thing, don't you think of him being like, he's a charmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how he charms her is basically saying, I can help you. We're going to do some intensive psychotherapy on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you how you felt like a human urinal or not, which is triggering, obviously, as it would be for anyone. And she realizes he's a little more than he's letting on.
Her resiliency kicks in. She's like, this feels like you're getting off on this. And it clicks from her going, you're the first person I've ever trusted, which is, again, really sad, to this like, oh no, it's time to flip into survival mode. Fight or flight mode is totally activated at that point. And she does. She kicks his ass. She kills him. Oh, she thinks she kills him. She comes close to killing him.
But no, she just fucked his face up, which is real funny.
And yeah. Which, again, is played to comedic when they're in the courtroom, and Brooke Shields, who's probably the most tragic character in this whole thing, because she is thinks Reese Witherspoon is a monster, which she's becoming, is becoming. And Reese Witherspoon the whole time like is laughing at how fucked up her husband's face is.
That was very funny.
It was funny.
She looks over and sees him and she's like, she's on trial for attempted murder or about to be. Yeah.
And I think they say he can't get an erection anymore or something like that. And she just laughs and everybody's like just so disgusted with like her.
But she's trying to, this was a very poignant moment. Mm-hmm. I think very awful moment where she's like, I'm telling you the truth, he is the serial killer, he tried to kill me, I did this, yes, but he's worse. And the police are like, yeah, and she's like, but I've been in the system and I know the minute I've been in the system nobody's gonna believe me anymore, like let's go down my rap sheet. I'm a shoplifter, I've been busted for prostitution, but like I'm telling you the truth, but you're not gonna believe me because this is who I am.
She says, what, the truth is eternal.
Yeah.
Which, yes, coming out of this character's mouth is really a funny, it's again, it's a contrast where you're like, you don't, she can't read.
Right.
She says the truth is eternal. Also, the line I found where Bob is wheeled into the courtroom, she says, holy shit, look who got beaten with the ugly stick, is that you, Bob?
Yeah. And she's laughing. And, but she's also, that's a, again, I think that's why my 40 plus year, you know, my 41 year old brain now is like, really saw this is so sad because she's right, like no one's gonna believe her, but she's not helping herself either by, you know, making this huge scene in the courtroom. But it's like, as that like I see that trauma, and like, and I think this is where the, you know, the writing is really good, is that it's like she can't let him know he's won.
She won't let anybody she's not gonna let anything affect her.
Yeah
In this situation, she's totally like, unaffected. She has zero fucks left to give.
Right.
Also, she really digs deep on when she wants to hurt another character in this film. She digs deep. Like early in the film, her mom calls her boyfriend the N-word, and she's, you know, disgusted with her mom for that. But in the police interview, she unloads.
Oh, she goes on
the black cop. Yeah. Like she unloads on him. And then later when they are investigating her and they find out her boyfriend's black, there's like, her boyfriend's black and you, you know, her boyfriend's black.
I know.
It's like funny because it's rhymes. Anyways, he's like, he has this realization, I think, that she'll use any, it's not that she's this racist piece of shit character.
She's a survivor.
She's just a very, like, she's a nasty, like, dirty fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like she'll dig deep and do whatever. She doesn't give a shit about, like, if she's after somebody, like, that's
it. And it was funny that in that moment he's like, wait a minute, her boyfriend's black, maybe she is telling the truth. And then he starts to truly investigate, which was weird.
Oh,
and funny.
Yeah
his moment of clarity when he realizes.
Then they start to maybe believe her,
because
he finds her cut hair in the field where Bob was, and
he actually cares about it, because she's done what, again, the survivors do, is they distance people who could be problematic for them, as they create some way of creating that distance. Again, I just remember this being such much more fun movie when I was a high schooler than it
now. You
is.
Watch it and you just want to, like, you've been hurt so many times.
Like you're in a tragic loop, and
you can't, you are incapable of making it better for yourself, because you have never been given any love or coping skills or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
She needs an intervention. And like, beautifully, that this would be Reese Witherspoon's, you know, kind of breakout role. She's so good in this.
It's funny, because at first I was like, I'm not sure. At first I think I thought her acting, like, it wasn't ringing well for me. But as you go into it, you kind of realize what, like it works in the context of the movie. Her kind of silliness and line raids.
She really amps up, like, that Louisiana accent.
Is she from Louisiana? I thought she's from Tennessee or something.
No, she's from New Orleans, I think.
Oh.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
I know she's Southern.
And also she's got, like, this baby head, which makes her look so vulnerable.
Talk about how small her head was.
Does she still have a small head?
I mean, she always, once you have a baby head, I think, like, you always have a baby head.
I don't, I don't like notice Rihanna, her head anymore.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
Rihanna.
She's
Rihanna?
Like one of the powerhouses. Reese Witherspoon's one of the powerhouses in Big Little Lies. That's, yeah. I don't know if you're anybody's else. I'm sure lots of people are out there listening, watching that. But man, she's good.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's such a good actress, like actor.
And speaking of awesome actors, Amanda Plummer has been working a lot.
Oh,
it's
good.
Just nothing, no big releases. So
she's kind of a character actor.
Yeah. She does a lot of indie film, I think.
Yeah.
If she hasn't been in Star Trek, I haven't seen her because that's all I've been watching.
That's right.
Brittany Murphy also.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie, does a great job. She another brilliant character actor. You know, she plays those roles. There's a very memorable role in this. She's one of the people in the female juvenile detention center that's locked up. And you can tell she's just, yeah.
Yeah. Amy.
She's good.
We were both right. She was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and then I guess she maybe was her dad moved around, and they ended up moving to Germany. And then when they came back, they were in Tennessee.
Thank you.
And she won like a Ms. Babyhead pageant.
Okay.
At age 7.
You're ridiculous, and I don't know what to do with you. Oh. Fun little cameo, if you guys remember Saved by the Bell. The post Kelly Kapowski and Jesse Spano years, when they did like another senior year, and Tori, like the motorcycle chick, came along to like replace them, and truly no one could replace Kelly Kapowski and Jesse Spano. She's actually a twin, and I saw her on Beverly Hills 90210 not that long ago because I went back and started that from the beginning, and she's in this movie, her and her twin.
Huh.
I don't know which one played Tori on Saved by the Bell.
All of those.
One of them. They shared it.
They shared the role.
But they're also juvenile delinquents, and they help.
Not the actors.
Everybody escape. I don't know.
In this movie.
I don't know.
Guillermo, did they do that in Saved by the Spell?
Spade by the Spell.
Spade by the Spell.
I use magic to spade and neuter my dogs. Guillermo Diaz has a really tiny part in this. He's the boyfriend of... my tiny part. He's the boyfriend of the bad chick that Reese Witherspoon beats up.
Yeah.
But... it's just funny, this era of his career, like Half Baked and all that. And
it's funny.
He's another character actor.
Yeah.
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 He always plays the intensely weepy guy.
One of the goofiest moments in this movie is when Reese Witherspoon finally goes to find her grandma.
Oh.
Now she's escaped from jail. But Bob's also on the run. Because the cops have figured him out, and he's like, I know what I'm going to do. I know where she's going, and I'm going to kill her. And so he is grandma on the bed.
I love that.
He's got the little, like, so she's in there. She's like, hi, grandma, it's me. Wake up. Got,
like a shower cap on.
Yeah, and, like, the blanket's pulled all the way over his, like, so just his eyes are showing. And I'm like, I see what you're doing.
She's like, you got some fucked up teeth, grandma. She saw his messed up mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for some reason, he's also in her nightgown, mm-hmm. even though like
he's covered all the way up.
He's covered all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
But poor grandma's been killed. He strangled her. It was really like a
Yeah, it was horrifying. Yeah. When Reese Witherspoon, another for horror fans at least, this is cool. Lorna Raver is the judge who was the actor who played the gypsy character in Drag Me to Hell. And I think you'll recognize her like right out of the gate when you see her. But if you don't, if you're like, who is that lady? If you're revisiting this, it's
that's
her.
Who it is. Yeah.
But I just think she's got a real distinctive look.
So Bob gets killed.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon doesn't fall for that grandma's shenanigans for very long.
No, she goes pretty fast.
Yeah.
And she's like, can I have a cigarette? Mm-hmm. And scene, right? And basically. Scene.
Mm-hmm.
What a goofy, weird, sad, insightful, strange movie.
Mm-hmm.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
What a long, strange trip it was.
Some goofy nails.
Goofy.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Next week.
Do you recommend revisiting this one? People who are fans of it? What do you think, Freddie? You saw it originally.
I like it a lot. Yeah. I think it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
It's very much, it is a 90s, it's a time capsule mm-hmm. of the 90s, especially like, I think, West Coast 90s.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to go back to that era, man. It's hard. You'd be hard pressed to see a
Yeah.
More accurate portrayal.
Maybe hit Clueless on a day like today.
Yeah.
Maybe hit Freeway on a day when you're ready for...
When the United States is exploding in violence and your friend's beautiful, beautiful dog is going to the Rainbow Bridge. You go to Clueless.
Go to Clueless.
Clueless.
See Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
In a healthier way.
Rolling with the
homies.
Aw. Yeah, we didn't even address Brittany Murphy, really, did we?
We did. We talked
just
about
shortly, yeah. That's right. I loved her. She was so great. Luann on King of the Hill for me was the best.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of fate when those, especially when you're in the girls' prison in this one, you'll see a lot of faces that you're like, oh, yeah, I love the 90s.
Yeah. The Shape of Water next week. I'm so excited because I've never seen this.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro, Academy Award winning film.
We should just call this Guillermo Month.
We should. Doug Jones.
Guillermo Diaz. Guillermo. No, Guillermo. I'm sorry.
It's hard to
Mr.
say.
Mr. Del Toro.
We love Doug Jones.
Ah.
Super dude. Indiana boy. Wonderful person. So I'm really, really thrilled to see this next week. And.
You know who else is an Indiana boy? Mike Pence.
Ew.
Ew.
Why'd you make it ugly?
Dan Quayle.
Oh, Amy. The Ku Klux Klan.
They started in Indiana?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Not Alabama?
Let's change it. The Hoosiers.
At least that's what I've always heard.
I don't know. No.
That was.
Who's that mean coach that throws chairs?
Oh, Bobby Knight.
Bobby Brown.
But we also have some wonderful friends that are from Indiana. So there's, it's.
There's a great horror hound coming up in Indiana.
Yeah, Indianapolis.
I hear there's a great tiki bar in Indiana.
That's true.
Yeah, we haven't been yet.
Yeah.
Andy has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we haven't.
We haven't.
We're the ones who drink.
Yeah, we're the ones. We're the ones.
We need to make it.
We're going to make it.
We drink and we know things.
Do you have the MailChimp list?
Shit.
That's okay. While you do that, I'm going to explain what we do.
All right.
Every month we will go out and we will pull everyone who subscribes to our mailing list. If you want to join our mailing list, go to notlp.com, scroll down until you see Dracula stamped.
We will pull you out of your beds while you're sleeping.
What?
You said we will pull you.
I'm with you now.
And I joked.
That's scary. So find Dracula and you can sign up for the list there, and we will randomly select someone from the list once a month to pick the final main attraction for our theme. This month's theme is fairy tales. I don't even know if we ever said that. So,
never mind. I got it.
So fairy tales. So that's why we did Little Red Riding Hood. The Shape of Water I haven't seen. I don't know why that's a fairy tale yet until I watch it. I think all of Guillermo del Toro's movies are some kind of fairy tale.
Yeah.
And have I stalled enough for you to get the list? How many we got?
That there, you pulling people out reminded me of another thing from the 90s.
Pulling out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember how hot pulling out was in the 90s? 80s.
Maybe not. Do you remember when like MTV would do the Beastie Boys will like find you, like you would, if you won like the...
And they come and perform at your school
they
lunch.
They come and perform at your school lunch. Yeah. Or like Def Leppard will like come and... I remember there was like a commercial for it where they actually poured sugar over like some girl's head while she's in like the stall at a restroom. And it was kind of scary.
They poured sugar on...
Yeah. They did. I think I would have to look at YouTube. I'm sure that commercial
exists. That's funny.
They poured sugar. I feel like she was in the bathroom, and I remember being like, I really want Def Leppard to come to my school, but that's horrifying. And at any random time, Def Leppard could come and just pour sugar while I'm in the bathroom, which is always a horrifying place in any high school.
And now it's a really extra sticky place with all that sugar.
Yeah.
Because bathrooms are sticky sweet. Notoriously damp.
From their head to their feet.
Amy,
yeah.
Do you have a number, Amy?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. 62.
All right. All right. Are you ready? 40.
All right. 40. I didn't open the file yet.
40.
40?
40, Amy. 40.
I think you both have the keys to the lock.
Whoever is number 40 will be picking our final main attraction.
Sorry.
And have the Beastie Boys come to your high school.
And the Beastie Boys will
They'll surprise you.
Michael Lynch.
I will email you and let you know you won in case you aren't listening.
Michael Lynch.
Yay. I'm really excited to see what you pick for fairy tales.
Yeah, me too. So excited. All right. So, end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Hello.
And we're done. We're funny. Brandon and Emily, I love you.
Love.
I do. I love all of the people on this list. Jeff, yeah. You're the best.
Love.
Simply the best.
Jimmy B, you know how great you are, right?
Yeah. Love you, Jimmy B.
Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora. Ugh, I could squeeze your little faces off. So sorry, I just love. Made fun of Indiana. I know you live there.
It's got great things, too.
Yeah, I know.
The Indiana State Fair is going on right now.
Holy shit.
I think it's a great time. I've been there before.
Is that the one where all those people died of that?
The sugar.
The sugar loaf. What is wrong with me right now?
It's our catastrophe brains.
Yeah. This is World's Heart. Amanda. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Yeah. Are you good? I hope so, because you should be.
Check
you're
in
you're
on
worth
you.
Being good.
Yeah.
Ernest, oh gosh, you are just a shining light in my life. I'm not being silly. Like, you're always so much fun and nice.
Yeah, I'll send you some love.
We've got
Care Bear staring everybody on there right now.
Tree and Alex, you guys they're fostering right now, like human children. Not like dogs or anything,
yeah.
But like human children, which is like, I couldn't even imagine. That's amazing. Awesome. You guys are amazing.
That's awesome.
Brandon Boone, my God, you make this world better with your music and you're light.
Happy belated birthday too.
Oh my God, happy birthday.
Happy
shit.
Happy birthday.
Shit.
He's still a baby though.
Yeah.
Baby.
He little baby.
Yeah.
Bill, my gosh.
Hey Bill.
Remember when we hung out? We had so much fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I miss you.
He's back pizza. On social media right now.
The medias?
He's on the medias. He was taking a little
medias.
Break. Yeah. He's taking a little break. He's back. Always got great things to say.
Blake.
Blake.
Yeah.
He lets us call him Balake.
He put
He's
up
okay
a,
with that.
Puts up a lot of shit.
You put
we
up
love
with some
that.
Shit. Have a beer on me. I don't know how I'm going to get you that money. We'll figure it out later. Mark. Oh my gosh. We've had so much fun hanging out with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best. Remember Super Horror? He gave best. Us Horror Express and we had the best time with it.
That's right. I did.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
love that. I had a lot of Peter Cushing in my life lately, too. And
more cushion for the pushing.
And Christopher Lee.
Peter Cushion buses. Seats. Never mind. I'm sorry. Take it back. Edit. Mark that.
I'll
that
delete
out.
It.
Thanks.
Yeah. Nobody will ever know.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm leaving it in.
I know you are.
And finally, certainly not one of my favorite people on this planet,
yeah,
Elise.
Elise. She gives so much love.
She's like such a... She just gives and is funny and is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And just makes my life better.
She puts kindness out there.
Mm-hmm. And Elise, I made another Instant Pot. Two new other Instant Pot things.
Mm-hmm. She is the queen of the Instant Pot.
We'll get to try some of that Instant Pot cheesecake love. It was good.
Yeah. I made a cheesecake and a beef stew.
He sure did, ladies and gents.
It's magic.
Keep our boy Andy in your thoughts.
Yes.
His big, beautiful boy, Apollo, is going to that rainbow bridge. And God, Apollo's the best.
Yeah.
He's such a good little baby boy. And he likes to catch frisbees.
Mm.
And I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
He was a snuggler. Ooh, and he would just get real drooly at the dog park.
He's slobbery.
Yeah. I didn't care. I was down to clown. Hug somebody you love.
Send out some love. Get some love.
Love somebody you hug.
Be open to it.
Yeah.
Care Bear, stare away.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Put the phone down. Stop looking at the news. This is advice to myself.
Self-love time.
Yeah. Because I like woke up in the middle of the night and I'm like, the fuck? And then Freddie woke up to pee shortly after that. And I was like, hey, Freddie, a bunch of people are dead in Dayton. And I shouldn't have done that to you. Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Also, even at dinner last night.
Oh, we were looking at the El Paso.
I had saw like the notifications yeah. about it and just kind of like put the phone away and didn't say anything. And then later you're like, hey, did you see this?
I'm 20 dead.
Yeah. I'm
I
like,
know.
I was like, yeah, I didn't say anything.
I know.
I'm reprieve.
Take, it is
bit.
Like you want, you need to know these things. You need to check the news in some way,
mm-hmm.
but don't dwell. We got to figure out how not to dwell. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, you kind of do. You got to connect with people you love and care about. And you got to, you got to just remember how just incredibly special it is for people to love you for who you are and what you think and warts and all. And that's, I think that's the best salve of all, is like realizing, like, you know,
I was saying to Andy, cause I could tell Andy, I think he feels a certain, like he's always wondering like, what do I need to do to make the world better and all that? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you don't know how many tragedies maybe you have prevented in your life. Mm-hmm. And this is true for anybody listening. Like, by being kind to another person,
yeah,
you may have prevented tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't underestimate that. You don't know about the bad things that didn't happen because of your actions.
Yeah.
You know, simple as that. Now you got to take some comfort in that, as bad as the world can be.
And take, like, just a moment. You can have a moment, and I hope everybody's had this experience where, you know, perfect stranger that you just take a second to be real and smile, hold the door, do something nice.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that is, it feels amazing. It can change your day around. You know, like, it was the craziest thing. A few weeks ago, someone, I was in like a Starbucks line, and someone, like, I got up to the thing, and somebody paid for my coffee in front of me. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's exactly like that. This is like probably the simplest thing in the world. And it made changed the course of my entire day. It really genuinely, I kept thinking about, like, what an incredible thing for somebody to do.
Yeah, a little small kindness.
A little small kindness. It just changes. It changes the course of a person's day. So do that for each other. Do that for yourselves. And possibly most importantly, like, learn how to accept that for yourself too, because that's a challenge. Yeah. It's a challenge.
You know? I don't know how to do that.
As corny as it is, that movie Pay It Forward, which now is problematic because of Kevin Spacey.
Ugh.
It's such a sweet concept.
It is a sweet concept. So, you know, you got to give and get love.
If you can check really your cynicism.
Check it.
Yeah, don't be cynical.
If you're going to the Horror Hound in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. realize that's an awesome time where you're going to have something to look forward to. I think also is a great salve for the sadness, is just because you get a community of people that are coming together, and like, what better salve is community? And you find a community of people, it really is the Care Bear Stare, like a bunch of people around you that are like, yeah, loving you for, you know, especially something like Horror Hound, where a lot of that can be considered the outskirts of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Norm. I have found so much because of that. And I don't remember what I was listening to. It was a podcast recently. It might've been Page Seven, but having something to look forward to, like you just said, always have something to look forward to. It could be small. It could be big.
Yeah, and if you don't have that, you know,
I'll call me.
Call.
Well, tweet me, and I'll find something for you.
Send an email in or whatever.
Hey, It Part Two's coming out. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I'm always looking for to do another Higher Love. So if you want some, you know, I don't have anything to look forward to, reach out. We're you're our community.
Yeah. Love you.
Yeah, give and get some love, y'all.
Unless you voted for Trump. But the only way to fix you is to love you.
Yep.
All right.
And vote you out of office.
Bitch.
Or things that you don't like.
And fuck your guts.
Vote.
Okay.
Vote. Vote what you don't like out.
Yes. All right. Bye.
Hey, give love.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old body.
Give